Well, we've been working through the book of Galatians, and we are going to continue doing that this morning. If you want to stand for our scripture reading, it's going to be Galatians chapter 3, 15 through 25. Galatians chapter 3, 15 through 25. Paul says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'And to the seeds,' as of many, but as of one, 'And to your seed,' who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant which was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but for God, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. So we've been talking about this idea of faith versus works, or faith versus the law. And just to remind us, Paul is writing to the Galatian church who he had went and preached the gospel and told them about how they needed to put their faith and trust in Jesus, in the work of Jesus on the cross. And then other people, Judaizers, people who were trying to convert the Christians to Judaism, were saying, "Yeah, that's true, you got to have faith in Jesus, but you also have to do the works of the law. You still have to fulfill the law. You still have to do all the things that the Old Testament says in order to be approved by God." And so Paul is continuing his defense of the Christian gospel. He is defending what he has taught the Galatian church originally. And his argument here in this passage is that the promise of God, that God gave to Abraham, is greater than the law. The promise is greater than the law. And he says that the promise of God, which He gave to Abraham, cannot be annulled by the law. In verse 15, he says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, that though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it." The idea here is Paul is referring to the idea of a man's covenant, or like a will, for example, right? If I write out a will and say, "This is what I want to happen, and it is confirmed that this is my will and that this is what should happen," then nobody can change it. That's the way it's going to be. And he says, if that's true for man, how much more true is it for God? That God made a promise to Abraham and He confirmed the promise. So how can it be changed? Now, where is it that God made this promise that Paul is referring to. This "and to your seed." Well, we find that in Genesis chapter 22. And it's the story of where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together, and they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And so he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.' And so Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." This is the story of the promise that God made to Abraham. Abraham obeyed God. He was willing to sacrifice everything, even his own son, on the altar. And what he didn't realize was that he was modeling the very thing that God would do. Because Abraham was willing to give his own son, God gave his own son. When God promised Abraham, "Blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed," he was talking about his own son who would die on the cross and he would give salvation to all. The promise was through Christ. Verse 16 of Galatians 3 says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." And so here is the promise that God has made to Abraham, that I am going to, through your seed, through Christ, bless all the nations of the world. So then Paul says, the law, which came 430 years later, after this promise, it cannot annul the promise. It can't make the promise of no effect. Verse 17 and 18, he says, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." I want to maybe make an illustration here that can maybe help us to understand this whole concept. I'm guessing many of you know your grandfather. And I'm guessing many of you have a positive or had a positive relationship with your grandfather. And I'm guessing at some point in time, your grandfather might have said, "Hey, I'm going to promise you that at some point in time, we're going to go do this or that." Right? We're gonna go spend a day together and have fun. Right? And so he makes this promise. And you're looking forward to this promise. Right? And you can't wait for this promise. And then along the way, he says, "Okay, now we need to make some rules." Right? Because little boys, they need some ground rules to be able to enjoy, to be able to bring that promise into fulfillment. We need some rules, some structure, so things don't get out of hand. Well, this is exactly what happened. God promised Abraham that he would bless him. And that promise cannot be annulled. But along the way, the Israelite people kept getting themselves into trouble. And so God brought in some rules, the law, so that they could fulfill that thing that God had purposed in them. It wasn't to make it of no effect. It was actually to bring it about. And so we see the purpose of the law. Verse 19 and 20 says it was added because of transgressions. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So what do we see here? The law was given to us. It was given to the Israelite people so that they could walk in the way that God would be able to bring about this promise, this blessing that he desired to give them. He wanted to bless them, but they kept going off because they were, as God said, a hard-hearted people. And so he gave them the law to keep them in the way in which they should go. And so that at the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And he did that. And the law taught us that we are all messed up. As hard as we try to follow the rules, we find ourselves unable. As Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the thing that I want to do, I have this desire, but the ability to actually fulfill that desire, I do not find within me. Right? We want to follow the rules, but somewhere along the way, this mischievousness prevents us from being able to do it. And so we see here that the Scripture has confined us all under sin. We are all sinners, and we know that we are sinners because the law. The Scripture has confined us all under sin, but that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So the law was teaching us that we were immoral people, that we were sinners, that in and of ourselves we could not be good because goodness was not in us. And so we must look to the promise of God which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that by placing our faith and trust in Jesus, we could become heirs of that promise. Remember, that promise was not made to you and to me. That promise was made to Abraham. But God has made a way that we could be partakers of that promise. We could be joined into that promise. It's like when Grandpa tells one of the kids, one of the grandkids, hey, do you want to go get some ice cream? Right? How many yeses does he get? Does he get one yes? No, all the grandkids say, I want to go for ice cream, right? And so God has made a way that even though he promised Abraham this wonderful blessing, because Abraham showed his faith by being willing to give his own son, God said, I want to bless everyone. I want every single person in every single period of time to be able to receive this blessing. And we do that by putting our faith and trust in Christ. So it is not the law that justifies. The law only teaches us how we are sinners. It is only God who justifies. And it is only our faith in God, our trust in Him, that brings that salvation into our life. And once we have Christ in our life, once we are living for Him, once we are following Him, once we are committed to Him, we no longer have need for the law because we have the real thing. We no longer have need for the rules to tell us how to act because God's Spirit is within us telling us how to act. He is maturing us, and He has given us His commandment, which is to love. And when we love, we follow all the rules. Right? We only need one rule. Love. And when we follow God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're following love because God is love. And so therefore, we no longer need the law, but we need Christ in our life. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a simple message. And yet profoundly true, that your promise is greater than the law. The rules do not undo your great promises. And Lord, your promises are found throughout Scripture. And as Christians, we can stake our life on your promises because they are true. And Lord, you have desired that not only Abraham be blessed, but all the world be blessed. You desire that each of us be blessed because of your Son. Lord, we see in 2 Peter chapter 3 that your desire is for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Lord, that we would understand that we are all sinners and that we must put our faith and trust in you. We must seek your forgiveness, Lord, and we must follow you. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that hasn't done that, Lord, that they haven't put their faith and trust in you, Lord, they haven't taken the opportunity to be a part of the promise that you made to Abraham by faith. Lord, I pray that they would do that. Lord, I pray that they would put their hope in you and obey you and follow you, that they might know you and that they might know freedom and the beautiful thing that you've created in this world. Lord, I pray that you would make us an example in this world. Lord, not an example of perfection, but an example of love. Lord, people that truly know you and truly do your will to love others. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.